Ladies and gentlemen. Very, very nice to have you here.
Thank you.
You've been in music for a long time, haven't you?
About 20 years.
How old were you when you began?
24.
24, and you started out doing what? Writing songs, singing songs?
Writing songs and singing them in a little small club in Chicago.
Yeah? What? Where in Chicago? What club?
Over at the Fifth Peg on Armitage.
Is it still there?
No, it turned into a French restaurant, and now they tore it down. There ain't nothing there.
You know, that's what they ought to do with those French restaurants. Are you with me on this? But when you started out and you went in there, was it a dump? Was it dangerous? Or was it a nice kind of friendly little place?
It wasn't a bad place at all.
Yeah?
Pretty nice little bar.
Did they like you? Did they take to you pretty well?
They liked me right away. I didn't plan on doing this for a living. I just kind of got up on a dare one night.
Uh-huh.
And sang a couple of songs.
How long would you work there?
I worked there for about 6 months and moved over to a place called the Earl of Old Town.
Mm-hmm. So you just kind of, there was a little circuit that you played there in Chicago?
There was a good folk scene going on in Chicago back in the early 70s.
Yeah, was that fun? Did you find that was one of the best times of your
career? Yeah, a lot more fun than working for a living.
Yeah. And you also, you were a public servant, weren't you? You were a mailman for a while?
I was a mailman for 6 years.
When was this, before or after?
It was before I started singing.
Wow. Were you a good mailman?
Well, I got the mail out there, you know, somehow. There's not a whole lot to think about when you're out on a mail route.
Yeah. Is it, to me, it seems like it's hard, physically difficult work, and tedious. Was that a problem for you?
That, the weather, and the dogs.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Were you ever injured in the line of duty?
Yeah, I got bit in the backside once. I dragged the dog about a half a block down the street.
What, were you full of Novocaine or what?
He wouldn't let go.
Oh, he wouldn't let go. But 6 years, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah, well, it was all a, you know, I probably would have stayed there for another 6 if I hadn't started singing.
Sam Stone came home to his wife and family after serving in the conflict overseas. And the time that he served had shattered all his nerves and left a little shrapnel in his knee. But the morphine eased the pain and the grass grew around his brain and gave him all the confidence he lacked. With a purple heart and a monkey on his back, there's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose. Little pitchers have big ears, don't stop to count the years. Sweet songs never last too long on broken radios.
John Prine was born October 10, 1946, in the Chicago suburb of Maywood, Illinois, to William and Verna Prine. But Bill Prine never let his kids forget that they were also from somewhere else, Paradise, Kentucky, a small coal mining town where Bill grew up before moving north to find better work than the mines. Quote, "One time I went to school and they asked us all to find out where our roots were," John Prine said. "It's going around the class, and the kids were going, 'I'm Swedish German or I'm English Irish.' They got to me, and I said, 'Pure Kentuckian.'" John's mom, Verna Valentine Ham, was the loving matriarch, and his father, William Mason Prine, a tool and die maker, was the stern patriarch. He raised his 4 sons, Dave, Chuck, John, and Billy, with good old American values and traditions, whatever that means. Young John Prine drew a lot of inspiration from the many trips that his family made back to Paradise, Kentucky, where he was able to see how the other half lived and explore a different landscape and reality. John entertained himself by making up rhymes and songs in the car on the way to the Appalachian coal mining town of Paradise, where culture, music, and blue-collar struggles all played a part in the developing young John Prine's imagination. At age 14, John Prine began learning to play the guitar from his older brother. Quote, "My brother Dave taught me my first chord, and the first time I held down a chord and I didn't muffle it, well, I just sat there with my ear on the wood even after the sound died, feeling the vibrations. From there, it was me sitting there alone in a room singing to a wall. While teenagers, John and his brothers would play instruments and sing for the family, never imagining it could be a career. His nickname at Proviso East High School near Chicago, he attended at the same time as NYPD Blue actor Dennis Franz, was Tippy Toes 2 because of his prowess at gymnastics. His brother Doug, who actually went on to become a lieutenant in the Chicago Police Department, was Tippy Toes 1. John Prine graduated from high school in 1964 and worked as a mailman in Chicago for a couple of years before he was drafted into the Army in January of 1966. Prine got lucky and was sent to West Germany instead of Vietnam, where he worked as a mechanical engineer, quote, drinking beer and pretending to fix trucks. After coming back from Germany, John Prine returned to his job as a mailman in Maywood, and on his postal route, he would write songs in his head. Quote, I guess I always loved to write, but I never had anything to really encourage it. I never thought I could be a journalist or a novelist or anything. I just had a wild imagination, and songwriting gave me enough rope to run with it. One night, encouraged by friends, John Prine took the stage at an open mic. He began with a song about a soldier damaged in combat in Vietnam called Sam Stone. A quote from the song, "There's a hole in Daddy's arm where all the money goes. Jesus Christ died for nothing, I suppose." As Prine remembers it, the audience remained silent after the song, unnervingly so, but he went on to sing more, including Hello in There, a song about the loneliness of old age, and Paradise, the song he wrote about the Kentucky coal mining town his father grew up in and escaped from.
When I was a child, my family would travel down to western Kentucky where my parents were born. And there's a backwards old town that's often remembered so many times that my memories are worn. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we'd travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison down by Avery Hill, where the air smelled like snakes and we'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Then the coal company came with the world's largest shovel, and they tortured the timber and stripped all the land. Well, they dug for their coal till the land was forsaken, then they rode it all down as the progress of man. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. When I die, let my ashes float down the Green River. Let my soul roll on up to the Rochester Dam. I'll be halfway to heaven with paradise waiting, just 5 miles away from wherever I am. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lays? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away.
John Prine's career took off fast. A couple of open mic appearances got him a residency at the Fifth Peg in Chicago, and then a $1,000 a week regular gig at Earl of Old Town, the center of the Chicago folk scene. The club was across the street from the Second City Theater, and Bill Murray and John Belushi frequented his sets. Roger Ebert, then a young Chicago Sun-Times staff writer, stopped by one night and wrote an article entitled "Singing Mailman Who Delivers a Powerful Message in Few Words." On another occasion, fellow songwriter Steve Goodman brought Kris Kristofferson to the Earl. Quote, "By the end of the first line, we knew we were hearing something else," Kristofferson recalled later. "It must have been like stumbling onto Dylan when he first busted onto the Village scene." Kris Kristofferson got up on stage with John after he had finished singing and said, quote, "No way somebody this young can be writing so heavy. John Prine is so good, we may have to break his thumbs." Kris Kristofferson soon invited John Prine on stage in front of an industry-heavy audience at New York's Bitter End. The next morning, Atlantic Records president Jerry Wexler offered John Prine a $25,000 recording contract. Quote, "This is my first night in New York, so it was like Oz to me." In 1971, John Prine went to Memphis and recorded his self-titled debut album. One night, John Prine wound up at Carly Simon's apartment in New York City, where Kris Kristofferson introduced him to Bob Dylan, who had been laying low since his 1966 motorcycle accident. Bob Dylan shocked John Prine by singing him his songs from his not-yet-released debut album. Quote, "The album wasn't even out yet, and he knew the words because he had an early copy," Prine says. "I'm thinking, this is like a dream." 1 month before the release of John Prine's first album in 1971, his father died at 55 of a heart attack while sitting on his front porch watching the traffic flow by. About John Prine's first album, music critic Robert Christgau wrote, quote, "You suspect at first that these standard riffs and reliable rhythms are designed to support the lyrics rather than accompany them. But the homespun sarcasm of the singing that comes on as tuneless as the tunes themselves soon reveals itself as an authentic, rather catchy extension of Nashville and Appalachia. And then so do the tunes and the riffs and the rhythms." About the first song on the first album, Illegal Smile, John Prine said, "I have to confess, the song was not about smoking dope. It was more about how, ever since I was a child, I had this view of the world where I can find myself smiling at stuff nobody else was smiling at. But it was such a good anthem for dope smokers that I didn't want to stop every time I played it and make a disclaimer."
When I woke up this morning, things were looking bad. Seemed like total silence was the only friend I had. Bowl of oatmeal tried to stare me down, and one knew it was 12 o'clock before I realized I was having no fun. But fortunately I have the key to escape reality, and you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't I didn't kill anyone. No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. The last time I checked my bankroll, it was getting thin. Sometimes it seems like the bottom is the only place I've been. Chased a rainbow down a one-way street, dead end. And all my friends turned out to be insurance salesmen. But fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't I didn't kill anyone. No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well, I sat down in my closet all, trying to get away from all the years inside my wall. I dreamed the police heard everything I thought. What then? Well, I went to court and the judge's name was Hoffman. Ah, but fortunately, I have the key to escape reality. And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog bun.
About another great song from his first album, Spanish Pipe Dream, John Prine said, "I wrote this when I started performing. I thought the first song of the show should be up and bouncy. I can only play two rhythms, fast and slow, so this was written to go with my fast, bouncy rhythm. Originally, the chorus wasn't about blowing up your TV. It was something about the girls forgetting to take the pill. Then I got the line, blow up your TV. I used to keep a small bowl of real fine pebbles that I picked up on my mail route. And if somebody said something really stupid on TV, I'd throw some at the screen."
She was a level-headed dancer on the road to alcohol. And I was just a soldier on the way to Montreal. Well, she pressed her chest against me about the time the jukebox broke. Yeah, she gave me a peck on the back of her neck. And these are the words she spoke. Blow up your TV. Throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own. Well, I sat there at the table. Lady had something up her sleeve. Well, she danced around the barroom and she did the hoochie coo. Yeah, she sang her song all night long, telling me what to do. Blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own. Well, I was young and hungry and about to leave that place, when just as I was leaving, well, she looked me in the face. I said, you must know the answer. Said no, but I'll give it a try. And to this very day, we've been living our way. And here is the reason why. We blew up our TV, threw our paper, went to the country, built us a home, had a lot of children, fed them on peaches. They all found Jesus on their own.
John Prine's second album, Diamonds in the Rough, was a stripped-down, mostly acoustic album. Maybe not what people were expecting at the time, but I think it's pretty great. In an interview with Paul Zolo for Blue Railroad magazine, John Prine said that Sour Grapes and The Frying Pan, from the album, were two of his earliest songwriting efforts, explaining that he, quote, had a girlfriend whose father was a janitor. And the reason I'm telling you that is because he had access to a tape recorder. And nobody else I knew had one. They were really rare. A reel-to-reel. He got it from the language department. It was broken and he fixed it and had it at home. And I sat down and taped three songs for this girl and her sister. And the three songs were Frying Pan, Sour Grapes, and Twist and Shout. Years later, I ended up marrying that girl. She was my first wife. She found the tape. It was after I'd made the first album. So I put two of those songs on Diamonds in the Rough, and those were the first songs I remember writing. Robert Christgau deemed Diamonds in the Rough not as rich as the debut, but more artlessly and confidently sung. The gruff monotone avoids melodrama in favor of Prine's own version of Good Old Boy.
Oh, I get drunk most every night. Seems like all we do is bad. The more I drink, the less I feel blue. Sometimes I feel like an awful fool, spending my life on an old bar stool. And yes, I guess they ought to name a drink after you. If this date were to be our last, I'd never sit down this glass. It'd take all the booze in the world to forget you. You've left my heart a vacant lot. I'll fill it with another shot. And yes, I guess they ought to name a drink after you. Better get a double round. And yes, I guess they ought to name a drink after you. Yes, I guess they ought to name a drink after you.
About the great song Souvenirs from the album, John Prine said, "When I was first performing at the Fifth Peg in Chicago, I thought I should have a new song every week so that people wouldn't hear the same songs they heard last week. I wrote this song in my 65 Malibu on the way to the club on a Thursday night."
Childhood souvenirs, memories that can't be bought, that can't be won at carnivals for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me. Always look the same to me.
I hate reading no love letters, for they always bring me tears. I can't forgive the way they rob me of my sweetheart's souvenirs. Memories that can't be bought, that can't be won, the carnival's for free. Well, it took me years to get those souvenirs, and I don't know how they slipped away from me.
For 1973's Sweet Revenge, John Prine mixed it up again and gave himself the full band treatment, except for a song called Dear Abby, which was cut live at New York State University. Dear Abby was attempted in the studio, but as John Prine told Dave Frick in 1993, the studio version of that was cut with a band, and it was real stiff and humorless. We cut it once live, and that was it. That was the power of the song, in the way people would turn their heads the minute I'd get to the verse, the first chords. That was the reason we used the live version.
About 3 months ago, I was in Rome, Italy, not New York. I don't know what I was doing there. I was just there. And I got this sandwich one day, and they gave me a newspaper with it. It was the only newspaper they had there that was in English. And they had all the news from all around the world just crammed into 4 pages. Didn't even have any funnies in there, you know. Every time you turn a page, something just jumped right out at you, you know. So I found an old friend in there, and I wrote her a song. It's for Dear Abby.
Dear Abby, my feet are too long. My hair's falling out and my rights are all wrong. My friends, they all tell me that I've no friends at all. Won't you write me a letter? Won't you give me a call? Signed, Bewildered. Bewildered, bewildered, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, my fountain pen leaks. My wife hollers at me, and my kids are all freaks. Every side I get up on is the wrong side of bed. If it weren't so expensive, I'd wish I were dead. Signed, Unhappy. Unhappy, unhappy, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby, dear Abby. Dear Abby, dear Abby, you won't believe this, but my stomach makes noises whenever I kiss. My girlfriend tells me it's all in my head, but my stomach tells me to write you instead. Signed, Noisemaker. Noisemaker, noisemaker, you have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knock no wood. dear Abby, well, I never thought that me and my girlfriend would ever get caught. We were sitting in the back seat just shooting the breeze, with her hair up in curlers and her pants to her knees. Signed, just married. Just married, just married. You have no complaint. You are what you are, and you ain't what you ain't. So listen up, Buster, and listen up good. Stop wishing for bad luck and knocking on wood. Signed, dear Abby.
Years later, somebody took the verse about the guy whose stomach makes noises, wrote it just out of kilter enough so it didn't rhyme, and sent it in to Dear Abby, and she answered it in her column. She suggested that he seek professional help. For 1975's Common Sense, John Prine turned to producer Steve Cropper, the highly influential house guitarist for the Stax record label, and the album featured a lot of guest stars. The album is overproduced. Apparently, John Prine was perfectly content with the record cut in Memphis, but Steve Cropper was moving into the big leagues, producing the next Rod Stewart album, and he decided the album needed fleshing out. Despite John Prine's reservations, Steve Cropper took the tapes to Los Angeles and added all kinds of overdubs, stuff that John Prine didn't like and had wanted to avoid. John Prine said he began writing the song Come Back to Us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna Beauregard, in the summer of 1973 during a tour of Colorado ski towns with Ramblin' Jack Elliott. What I had in mind was this girl who left home, did drugs, did religion, did husbands, and ended up doing diddly.
The last time that I saw her, she was standing in the rain with her overcoat under her arm, leaning on a horsehead cane. She said, Carl, take all the money. She called everybody Carl. My skirt's broke, my mind's a joke, and getting up's real hard. Don't you know how, when you see her, she grew up in your backyard. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna Beauregard. Selling Bibles at the airport, buying quaaludes on the phone. And you talk about a paper route, she's a shut-in without a home. God save her, please, she's nailed her knees to some drugstore parking lot. Hey, Mr. Brown, turn the volume down, I believe this evening shot. Don't you know her, if you see her, she grew up in your backyard. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna Beauregard. Can't you picture her next Thursday? Can you picture her at all? In the Hotel Boulderado, at the dark end of the hall. I gotta shake myself and wonder why she even bothers me. For if Hollies were commercial, we'd all be on TV. Don't you know her, when you see her, she grew up in your backyard. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Hare Krishna, Hari God. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis. Hare Krishna, Hari God.
After the tepid reviews for Common Sense, John Prine was disillusioned with his record label, Atlantic Records. He didn't like the way the record turned out, and he felt they hadn't promoted it. There was a Greatest Hits album and an appearance on Saturday Night Live, and then Prine would sign with the singer-songwriter-friendly label Asylum Records for a three-album deal in 1977. He turned to his old friend Steve Goodman to produce his next album and his first for Asylum, a record to be called Bruised Orange. It was recorded and mixed in Chicago between January and March of 1978.
My heart's in the ice house, come a hill or come valley. Like a long ago Sunday, when I walked through the alley on a cool winter's morning to a church house just to shovel some snow. I heard sirens on the train track, how naked getting neutered. An altar boy's been hit by a local commuter just from walking with his back turned to the train that was coming so slow. You can gaze out the window, get mad and get madder, throw your hands in the air, say what does it matter, but it don't do no good to get angry, so help me, I know. For a heart stained in anger grows a weak and grows bitter. You'll become your own prisoner as you watch yourself sit there wrapped up in a trap of your very own chain of sorrow. Brought down to zero, pulled out and put back in. I sat on a park bench, kissed the girl with the black hair, and the head shouted down to my heart, you better look out below. It ain't such a long drop, don't stammer, don't stutter. From the diamonds in the sidewalk to the dirty and the gutter, and you carry those bruises to remind you wherever you go. You can gaze out the window, get mad, get madder, throw your hands in the air, say what does it matter, but it don't do no good to get angry, so help me, I know. For a heart stained in anger grows a weak and grows bitter. You'll become your own prisoner as you watch yourself sit there wrapped up in a trap of your very own chain of sorrow.
John Prine was clearly struggling to find his place in the music industry. His creative outlet had become his livelihood, and that is often the artist's dilemma. He wanted to make the records he wanted to make, but he also needed them to sell. But 3 years had passed without a new album, and even with a new record label behind him, the sales of Bruised Orange were disappointing. John Prine composed the album's opening track, Fish and Whistle, about a car wash down the street from his house because, quote, I hadn't wrote a song in what seemed like years, so one day I decided to just write a song about what was going on around me.
I've been thinking lately about the people I meet, the car wash on the corner and the hole in the street, the way my ankles hurt with shoes on my feet, and I'm wondering if I'm gonna see tomorrow. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. I was in the army, but I never dug a trench. Used to bust my knuckles on a monkey wrench. I go to town and drink, give the girls a pinch, but I don't think they ever even notice me. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish and whistle, a whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. And when we get through, we'll make a big wish that we never have to do this again. Again, again. Oh, my very first job, I said thank you and please. They made me scrub a parking lot down on my knees. Then I got fired for being scared of bees, and they only give me 50 cents an hour. Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. Fish and a whistle and fish. Eat everything that they put on your dish. And when we get through, we'll make a bigger wish that we never have to do this again. Again, again. Oh, Father, forgive us for what we must do. You forgive us, we'll forgive you. We'll forgive each other till we both turn blue. Then we'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven. We'll whistle and go fishing in heaven.
After the lackadaisical response from the public for Bruised Orange, which the critics loved, John Prine got a little bit rebellious for his next unapologetic album, Pink Cadillac, released in 1979. It's basically a rockabilly record, recorded at Sun Studios. Sam Phillips actually produced a couple songs, and Sam Phillips' son Knox Phillips worked on the record. There's a couple of good songs, but it's not a great album. There's a reason that the critics hated it. David Frick, writing in Rolling Stone, called it, quote, an almost unqualified disaster. He insisted that John Prine, quote, has never sung such a half-assed grab bag of songs. Robert Christgau wrote, Prine has never rocked harder, but he's slurring his vocals like some toothless cartoon blues man emulating an Elvis throwaway. I guess the song that stands out on Pink Cadillac for me is a song called How Lucky.
Rise my shoes, and I hung them from a rearview mirror. Ryan's admiration in a blind spot of a grid. Well, there was all these things that I don't think I remember. I walked down a street I used to wind. Yeah, scratched my head and I lit my cigarette. There was all these things that I don't think I remember. I walked down a street I used to wind it. Yeah, shook my head and made myself a bed. Well, there's all these things that I don't think I remember.
After receiving some of the worst reviews of his career for Pink Cadillac, John Prine moved towards a more country-flavored sound on Storm Windows, which foreshadowed much of his future work in Nashville. The album was produced by Barry Beckett, who had previously worked with Paul Simon and Bob Dylan, and was recorded at the legendary Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama. Critics liked it a lot more than Pink Cadillac, but as David Frick observed, half the songs that ended up on the album were first tried out during those Madhouse Pink Cadillac sessions. Storm Windows is one of my favorite John Prine albums, song for song. It's a fun record with serious moments, which is a great way to describe John Prine as a songwriter, fun and serious. I really love the title track, Storm Windows.
I can hear the wheels of the automobile so far away, just moving along through the drifting snow. It's times like these when the temperatures freeze, I sit alone looking at the world through a storm window. Down on the beach, Sandman sleeps. Time don't fly, it bounds and leaps. And the country band that plays for keeps. They play so slow. For so long, the raven at my window was only a crow. I bought the rights to the inside fights. Watched a man just beating his hand against a storm window. About miles away, oh, hills and streams. A candle burns, a witch's dream. Silence is golden, dead it screams. Down.
Jeeva, get a load. Storm windows, heat and wind and temperatures freeze. I sit alone, just looking at the world through a storm window. Down on the beach, the Sandman sleeps. Time don't fly, it bounds and leaps. And a country band that plays for keeps. They play it.
Storm Windows features six John Prine original compositions and two songs co-written with guitarist John Burns. Several of the songs, such as the title track, were inspired by John Prine's childhood. Quote, "I grew up on a four-lane highway, lots of trucks, lots of traffic. I used to have these spells every so often as a child where like the ceiling of the room was in normal perspective, but the doorway would appear much further away than it was. Coupled with this, all the noises seem muffled and distant, particularly the traffic moving on the wet or snow-covered pavement. I was really in another world. I finally worked up the courage to tell my mother and father about it, and Mom made Dad take me to the eye doctor."
Where are the bootstraps to lift my silver? Where is the will where I once filled my cup? Where does the sorrow all turn into joy? Where, oh, where is the sleepy-eyed boy? Is she out in the wild wood? Is she there all alone? Have I cast her aside like an unwanted door? Tell me where, oh, where is the sleepy-eyed boy? He's going down the back road in the cold, pouring rain. He's waiting for a postcard in the south coast of Spain. Postmark from a sweetheart back in old Illinois, saying, "Where, oh, where is my sleepy-eyed boy?" got a bootstrap to lift myself up. Where is the well where I once filled my cup? Where does the sorrow all turn into joy? Where, oh, where is the sleepy-eyed boy? Where, oh, where is the sleepy-eyed boy? Where, oh, where is the sleepy-eyed boy?
About the song Living in the Future from Storm Windows, John Prine wrote that it came from being a kid and, quote, seeing sketches of how the world would look in 20 years, and here it is in the future and things aren't better. They're just here. The joke's on us.
Jehoshaphat, a mongrel cat, jumped off the roof today. Some say he fell, but I could tell he did himself away. His eyes weren't bright like they were the night we played checkers on the train. Well, God bless his soul, it was a tootsie roll, but he's a dead cat just the same. We are living in the future. I'll tell you how I know. I read it in the paper 15 years ago. But we're all driving rocket ships and talking with our minds and wearing turquoise jewelry. Standing in Supline, we're standing in Supline. Well, Jake the barber's lonely daughter went down to her daddy's shop. She plugged herself to the barber pole and took a little off the top. There was pressure on the left, pressure on the right, pressure in the middle of the hole. I'm going to Maine on a 40-foot crane. I'm gonna use it for a fishing pole. We are living in the future. I'll tell you how I know. I read it in the paper 15 years ago. We're all driving rocket ships and talking with our minds and wearing turquoise jewelry and standing in Supline. We're standing in Supline. The all-night picture show with a grand eye sex and the radar with an X just to make a young man's pants grow. No tops, no bottom, just the hands and feet screaming the posters out on the street, strangling the curious and the weak. Here we give them what they want to see. Oh, here we give them what they want to see. Oh, we are living in the future. I'll tell you how I know. I read it in the paper 15 years ago. And we're all driving rocket ships and talking with our minds and wearing turquoise jewelry and standing in Supline. We're standing in Supline. We're standing in Supline.
Following 1980's Storm Windows, John Prine was dropped by Asylum Records, and he responded by forming his own record label, Oh Boy, with the help of longtime manager Al Bunetta. Oh Boy's first release was 1984's Aimless Love. John Prine thrived on his own record label, but beginning with Aimless Love, he shifted, as far as I can tell, towards a more adult contemporary singer-songwriter style. And personally, I kind of lose interest after Storm Windows. John Prine calls the 80s his bachelor years. Quote, I was also married to my bass player in that time, which lasted from 1984 to 1988. Quote, but I think our marriage was doomed from the get-go. Back then, John Prine would wake up around 3:30 in the afternoon, head down to Brian's Diner for fried eggs and his first beer of the day, then chat with fellow regulars Towns Van Zandt and Don Everly and play the poker machine. Then he'd head on over to Melrose Billiards, one of the many Nashville bars that still served the Handsome Johnny, which was a vodka with ginger ale. Then he'd hit the grocery store. Quote, "All my buddies knew that my dinner would be ready about 1 a.m. So when they were on their way home from the clubs, they'd all stop at my house and stay until about the time the sun came up." So you could tell why his marriage didn't work out. One night while he was out bar hopping, the heater on his aquarium shorted out. John Prine was distraught. It killed all his fish. He had become attached to a goldfish that had grown to 1.5 pounds. After storing it in the freezer for months, John Prine took the fish to a taxidermist and had it mounted, explaining that it was his family's favorite pet. "The kids miss it," said John Prine, who had no children at the time. For years, John Prine's concert rider included the requirement for a case of Orange Crush and a bottle of Stoli vodka, as well as a pack of cigarettes and 2 separate dinners of steak and potatoes. His career really did thrive once he started his own record label. Between the years of 1986 and 1989, he received 3 Grammy nominations for German Afternoons, John Prine Live, and In Spite of Ourselves. And in 1991, he would finally win a Grammy for The Missing Years. So there you have it, John Prine, the songwriter's songwriter. No matter what genre you like, that's really what it comes down to. It's all about the songs and how well written they are. John Prine is one of those great songwriters whose songs revolve around the lyrics, and yet, at the same time, the melodies and the personality is all there. That's what makes him great. His songs are literary but funny, serious and clever, and he's never pretentious. He just has something to say, and he makes you think or feel. It's a special thing.
Well, it's the same old song. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy, they carry on. They close their eyes and kiss until the world is gone. Oh, yes, it's true. It's happening to you. You know what they say. They pledge their love forever. I love her, she loved me too. We had a lot of love, now it's all through. And for a while, the hearts beat one as they met each other, smile for smile. They dance away the night and they praise the other style. Happening to you. I loved her, she loved me too. We had a lot of love, now it's all good. Well, it's the same old song. Boy meets girl and girl meets boy, they carry on. They close their eyes.
Be back.